This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
Morningstar Entertainment. CBC, home video. Teleaction. LA Production, Teleaction Production. Michael Ironside. Roy Dupuy. George Buzzin. Dan Bigra. Michel Forget. Marina Orsini. Andreas Apurgis. Gregory Claudi. Louis-Philippe Dandeneau. Tony Conti. Maxime Roy, Jean-Pierre Bergeron, Ron Lee, Catherine Colby. The Last Chapter 2, The War Continues, with narrative description by AudioVision Canada. A biker carries a heavy duffel bag down a hotel hallway. He knocks at a door. A big man lets him into the room. Another biker carries a second duffel bag down a flight of stairs to the hotel room. Inside, bundles of cash are dumped from the bags, then counted. The brain, a huge triple sixer, records the incoming money in an accounting log. Several men work to unload and count the piles of money.
What are we gonna do with all this? Keep going.
Triple Sixers Cash Drop Weekly Accounting, Toronto. On a golf course.
It's a par 4, 430 yards.
Okay.
Bob Durrell, leader of the Ontario Triple Sixers, golfs with a well-dressed man.
Usual stakes?
Director of photography, Marc Charlebois. Production designer, Raymond Dupuy.
Why don't we play for double this time, huh?
Why not?
Editor, Claude Pallardy. Costume designer, Anne Duceppe.
So what happened to that hotel in the Bahamas?
You bought it.
Oh, yeah? How much did I pay?
$10 million down plus $2 million a year for the next 5 years.
Smiling, Bob squares off at the tee. Executive producer, Claudio Luca.
Is it a good deal?
Reasonable price.
Associate producer, Anne-Hélène Brunet.
Beat that.
Bob's partner, Norm, approaches the tee. Line producer, Martin Nylar. Creative consultant, Paul Risiker. Norm starts to swing.
You know, you should think about quitting your practice, maybe come work for me.
Can I play my shot?
Yeah, sure.
Director, Richard Roy. Both men smile as Norm tees off. Written by Luc Dion. Produced by Claudio Luca. Norm's ball bounces past Bob's.
Let me see that.
What?
Your driver.
What for?
Bob grabs the club.
It's an illegal club.
Oh, Bob, come on, man.
It's not approved by the USGA.
This is not the PGA Tour.
Hey, we're playing for hundreds of dollars a stroke so you can kiss my ass.
Bob snaps the club over his knee.
That'll be a two-stroke penalty.
Norm grins at his broken club.
No problem. Just put it on your bill.
Later, Bob drives his convertible through a residential neighborhood. Pulls up to the curb and climbs out of the car. Taking a bouquet of flowers from the passenger seat, Bob heads up the walkway toward a house. A small, older woman answers the door.
Mrs. Debian, you look wonderful. Here, these are for you.
He hands her the flowers and barges into the house. Framed photographs of Bob's late friend, Wendy, and her husband, Ross Debian, hang over the mantel.
God, I remember this house.
You've got some nerve coming here.
A close friend of Ross and mine's. Danny, you remember Danny? Passed away last night. I think maybe you should call Fort Worth and let Ross know.
Ross is dead?
Adele, it's all right. I know the truth. Ross and I had a fight, but we've made peace. He's probably going to be home in a couple of days.
To think that I loved you as a son. I'll never forgive you for what you did to Wendy.
Adele, ask Ross when he gets home. He'll tell you I had nothing to do with that. He was very close to Danny. I think he'd appreciate hearing about it.
Bob heads for the door.
Yeah, I'll pray God he gets the message.
Nodding, he leaves. Outside, Bob steps to the curb. A worker on a nearby telephone pole glances down, and Bob nods to him. Climbing back into his convertible, Bob looks to the house and drives away. That night, Danny gets out of his car and walks up the steps toward a house. Looking over his shoulder, he steps inside. He drops his keys on a table and flips through the mail as Bob sneaks up behind him with a baseball bat. Bob clubs Danny's shoulder, sending him to the floor.
How you doing, Daddy?
What the hell is your problem?
Huh? You deserve that.
Now, get your ass up. Come on, get up.
I can't.
Sure you can. Come on.
Bob picks him up. He dumps Danny at the table.
You should get an alarm system in this place. Any kid in the neighborhood could get in here.
Bob casually looks in the fridge.
Will you tell me what this is all about? Huh?
You told me you'd fix it with Ross.
I did. He's no longer involved in anything. He's out.
You led me to believe you were going to kill Ross. Shook on it, brother to brother.
Bob gulps milk from a container.
Okay. What do you want me to do? Huh?
Now that's the spirit.
Pulling a cell phone out of his pocket, Bob dials a number. He sets the phone on the table.
Recognize that number? Go on, push send.
As Bob turns to the fridge, Danny struggles to reach the phone.
You can pick it up. You can talk to him.
Danny grabs the phone. Elsewhere, Ross picks up his cell phone.
Hello.
Ross.
Norella's here. I think we gotta talk.
Dropping the milk, Bob clubs Danny over the head repeatedly. Ross calmly remains on the line. Bob drops the bat, pulls a flare from his pocket. Thick, dark blood seeps across the table and drips to the floor.
Gotta get out of here. Call the Colombians, set it up. Bob's calling my hand.
Are you ready to go back?
Ross smiles as Chester, a Los Matadores biker, looks on.
It's time. Hey, Bob.
At At Danny's house, Bob lights the drapes on fire. He pours liquor from a decanter and sets it ablaze. Tossing the flare, he leaves. Later, Brain sits with Bob, smoking a joint.
I got everything I ever wanted. Big houses, cars, lots of money. I have my wife and kids with me, though. You know what I was doing the other night at 2 a.m? I was chasing a rat around in that new little house.
Should have just called an exterminator.
Brain passes Bob the joint.
Chased it down into the basement. Finally cornered it behind the furnace. Yeah. And just as I was about to do it with this 2x4, it rears up on its hind legs and glares at me. And in that moment, you know, I made contact. I bonded with it.
You bonded with a rat.
Brain takes back the joint.
It was like it was telling me to, you know, like, step back. Hide in the shadows.
So why? You want to be the Sixers rat?
Bob pats Brain on the back.
I got you, your prison. 25% of everything I earned is yours.
Whoa. Well, that's very thoughtful. Generous, even. What's the catch?
You're in charge. You're the man. I want you back off the street, you know. Operate on another level.
You want to hide behind the furnace while I take the heat?
25% of where I want to take us, that's a lot of cash.
Yeah. You're doing this because of Karen. You want her back, don't you?
The smile fades from Bob's face.
My friend.
The two men hug.
Let's go get this done.
Brain sets down the joint, and they both pull on triple Sixers vests over tuxedo shirts and bow ties.
Hey, let me look at you.
Bob adjusts Brain's vest and tie. Two stoned men step outside and look around.
The things money can buy.
Yeah, and all the people that go with it.
A large white tent is set up on a lawn where formerly dressed bikers mingle with beautiful women. Bob and Brain step toward the reception. A sexy blonde in a tight wedding dress waves at them.
You got a beautiful bride, Lenny. Hope she makes you good and happy.
Thanks.
A stunning brunette approaches.
This is my wedding present to you. Her name's Rebecca. You two have a good time.
Thank you, Lenny.
Bob puts his arm around Rebecca. His Brain steps over to his bride, Linda.
You're nobody till somebody loves you. Ladies and gentlemen, our lovely bride and groom. You're nobody.
Snapper and Roots, two Quebec triple sixers, sit at a table with their colleague, Gilles.
You may be a king, you may possess the world and all its gold.
The wedding singer leads Brain and Linda onto the stage for their first dance.
Bring your happiness.
Bob and Rebecca applaud from the head table.
The world's still the same, you ain't gonna change it. As sure as the stars shine above.
Bob pours his date a glass of wine.
You're nobody till somebody loves you. So find yourself somebody to love.
Bob asks Rebecca to dance. They get up from the table. In the driveway, security stops a black limousine, which is then allowed to proceed. Bob and Rebecca spin on the dance floor. A young man approaches Bob and whispers to him. Bob leaves the dance floor. He walks under a canopy toward the parked limo. An older man in a red leather vest climbs out of the car.
Mr. President.
Bob hugs him.
It is so good to have you here.
Cut the bullshit, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Welcome to Canada. Let me introduce you around. Dartmouth, Nova Scotia.
Nicely, brother.
Peter, Saskatchewan.
Yeah, good to see you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the international president and founder of the 666,
good to see
Mr.
You.
Alan Stan.
Yeah.
Right on.
I'll introduce you. Come on, Roots says, leading Gilles from the table. Bob whispers to Brain.
Mr. Stan's myself.
Good night.
Pleasure, brother.
Pleasure to see you, my brother.
Alan, I'd like to introduce Lenny Lipinski and his lovely new wife, Linda.
Roots and Gilles leave, annoyed.
Hello yourself.
It's a real pleasure to have you here, Alan. Real honor.
Bob's special request, and I'm always happy to meet brothers that I've heard so much about. You got good taste.
Linda curtsies.
Real good taste, and it's gonna taste good.
Can't stand that guy, Gilles says to Roots. Yeah, check him out.
He's too cold.
Can't do much about him, Roots says. He pisses me off, says Gilles. I'd like to fix him. When you feel like that, says Roots, go a few rounds with a punching bag. It'll give you inner peace. Soon after, Linda sits on a motorcycle and peels off her stockings. She dances seductively for her new husband. Bob, Stans, and Rebecca watch as Brain drops to his knees. He pulls Linda's garter off with his teeth. Brain twirls the garter on his finger and tosses it into the air. Stans catches it and excitedly hugs the big man. Brain hurries back to Linda, and she gives him a long kiss. Stans whispers to Bob. They step away.
Just a little. Hiya there, Cracker.
Did you get enough to eat?
Yeah. Music's good, everything's good. You did a good job.
Thank you. Hey, you want a drink?
No. Just stay here. I'm going to have a little talk with Bob, okay?
Stans' bodyguards stay behind as he walks with Bob through the outdoor reception.
Wanted to tell you face to face. Our sources, good sources, tell us that the Matadores are setting up here.
I know.
What do you mean, you know?
I got my own sources. I got 5 provinces. 4 out west, I got Ontario.
This kind of shit happens all the time. We vote on peace treaties one moment, and the next day we forget about them.
I'm not gonna let it happen.
It's your country. It's your problem. And whatever happens up here, we're not taking it to the international level.
Shit. Yeah, well, I've always been on my own up here anyway.
What are you talking about? You're not on your own. You got 25 chapters here, Canada.
The crosshairs of a sniper's rifle aim at Bob's head. The sniper puts his finger on the trigger. He aims at Bob's chest.
It's gonna get ugly.
Do what you want.
The sniper shoots two bullets into Stanza's chest. Bob grabs him as he falls, and the bodyguards hurry to help.
Let me go, goddamn it!
Hey, I've been shot.
Come down, bring back up. Come on, move your ass.
In the bushes,
figure that out, sucker.
Ross packs up the rifle and leaves. Stans lies dead on the ground. Brain and Linda hurry to the body.
Is he dead?
Turning his gaze from Roots, Bob grimaces. Later, David Butler, an independent biker, leads a woman into his junkyard trailer. He pulls up her skirt, and they fall onto a desk. They kiss hungrily. Butler undoes her blouse. Ross sits quietly across the room.
Woof!
Leaping off of the woman, Butler grabs a crowbar.
Hey!
Relax. It's just me.
Butler is stunned.
Can't be. Get her out of here.
Come on, get out of here, now.
What do you mean, get out?
I said, get the hell out of here, now, go!
Screw you!
The woman leaves the trailer.
You know what? Your timing really sucks.
Well, I can come back later if you want.
The two men hug.
Burning van almost fooled me, man. But I knew it. I knew you weren't dead.
Butler grabs two beers from a mini fridge.
I knew it. No body.
I had to get out in the heat. So I thought that was the best way to do it.
You don't play tricks like that on your buddies, man.
I heard the Matadors are going to open 5 provinces in Canada.
Yeah.
I think I've been playing with myself the past couple of months.
You know Danny died in the fire?
Danny was murdered. You'll see when the investigation's over. Mm-hmm. Typical Durell M.O. Bastard's gonna pay.
They toast each other. In a posh office.
I'm moving up, Norm. Another level. Higher plane.
Like the Flying Nun.
Oh, don't be an ass. You know what I'm talking about. I want to flood the system with cash. Campaign contributions. You know, pull some strings, make things happen. I'm gonna need some introductions.
Bob, I am not going to get involved in any scheme here.
I'm a citizen like everyone else. I want to spend my money my way.
They don't want your kind of money.
Really?
Norm walks over to a small bar.
That crime bill. What kind of progress they making with that?
It's still with the committee.
Those are the people I want to get to. I don't care what it costs.
Campaign contributions aren't going to cut it.
Norm walks away with a scotch.
Hey, Norm, they're just like you. They're your kind of people, huh?
Bob sits beside him on a love seat.
You know how to make them respond.
You're not welcome in that world.
Huh. The world's given me so much. I think I should put something back.
He takes Norm's scotch.
That crime bill is a civil rights issue. Those people got to understand that a loss of freedom for a few is a loss of freedom for everybody. And sooner or later, it's going to get them right where they live. Their privacy, huh?
It's a dangerous game to play.
Yeah, well, you don't know what danger is. What is this shit?
He gulps down the scotch.
That's good.
It's 100 years old.
I'm going to get me some.
Bob's daughter, Sarah, walks into a large house. West Palm Beach, Florida.
Come check out what I got! Jonathan!
Her brother, Jonathan, packs in his bedroom.
Whoa!
Where's your computer?
Sold it.
Great. What are you doing?
Going on vacation.
Oh, I get it. You're going back, aren't you?
Kind of, yeah.
Does Mom know?
Look, she didn't tell me I was moving here, so why should I tell her I'm going back?
The front door opens.
It's her. Mom!
Two men run up the stairs.
Don't be stupid, okay? Our life is good here.
Hey, I'm not in charge of the schedule.
Mom, would you...
Hey, Sarah.
What the hell are you guys doing here?
You ready, man?
Oh, yeah. Good.
Get your suitcase and grab some stuff. We're going.
Right. Get out of my way.
Sarah leaves the room and everyone follows.
Come on, Sarah. Don't make it any harder.
Get out of here before I call the cops.
Come on, sweetie pie. You wouldn't do that to me, would you?
Try me.
You always said you couldn't resist Butcher. Well, here he is.
Shut up, Jonathan!
Butcher picks her up.
Butcher, let me go! You yelled so loud the neighbors are gonna hear. I said let me go!
Tiger, please.
His partner, Tiger, tapes Sarah's mouth shut.
You know I love you all, baby.
Come on.
Butcher drops an envelope onto the staircase as they leave. At the Toronto Organized Crime Interprovincial Team office.
Steve, can you tell me where the hell you were Saturday night?
None of your business.
Alan Stans was shot, in case you didn't know.
So what, you think I killed him?
We asked you to be there with your guys. There were at least 100 Sixers there. Alan Stans, the founding president, was there too. And we had nobody to cover it.
Yeah, well, that was Saturday night, and I had other things in mind.
Do you know how many phone calls I got this morning?
Hey, you got a problem with that? Talk to Gabriel. We didn't have the resources to cover it.
Jennifer storms away from Steve and into Gabriel's office.
Philip, can you please tell me why we didn't cover the wedding this weekend?
We don't do weddings, Jennifer. This isn't People magazine.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that the murder of the founder of the Sixers is just for People magazine.
Well, they didn't call to say that we're going to hit him.
That's not the point. There were at least 100 full patches, prospects, hangarounds. It would have been good to know who was promoted or patched recently.
Saturday, Jennifer. My guys have families too, you know.
Okay, I understand. Open season on Saturdays because cops have families. I must be dreaming, for Christ's sake.
She marches out of Gabriel's office.
Sarah?
Karen, who is several months pregnant, walks into her Florida home.
Sarah! Jonathan! Guys, you there?
She notices the envelope. Tearing it open, she reads the letter inside. Her mouth hangs open. In a mall, two bikers block a bathroom door.
Excuse me.
No, I'm not in there.
My kid just needs to go to the bathroom.
Come on, go somewhere else. Come on, move.
He's just got to go to the bathroom.
I said move. Come on, move.
Okay, okay.
The man leaves with his son. Inside.
The brains went, yes, I invited him. Yes, he was on our turf. I was there. There were shots. Look, the man was dead.
It's very embarrassing.
Well, it wasn't my idea.
I'm getting calls from brothers all over the world. A lot of pissed off people.
It's good for the organization, and it makes you goddamn happy.
Bob turns his back on Gilles.
I'll resign as president of my chapter until this thing blows over.
You do that. It's a good idea. Resign.
Roots looks to Bob.
I give them the benefit of the doubt.
I'll take the heat. I don't care.
No way. Resigning will make us weaker. Stans got shot. I'm very sorry. It's too bad. It's not my fault. Not yours.
Roots doesn't look good.
Oh, you must be confusing me with someone who gives a shit.
Roots, listen, it doesn't...
Stans comes on our turf.
He gets shot and we're responsible? I don't think so. So I suggest we pass a motion saying how sad we are here in Canada. And that we will remain strong and united against our enemies. But there's no goddamn way in hell I'm going to deliver one of my boys to please our American brothers. Is that getting through?
Yeah, right.
Bob nods to Roots. Soon after, you blew it, Gilles says to Roots. We could have crucified him. Come on, what did you want me to do? A motion to put the blame on Bob Durell. I counted the votes. We'd have lost. The timing was wrong. Listen up and listen good, Roots continues. The more dangerous your enemy, the closer you gotta keep him. Stay with me. Believe me, it's gonna work out. Roots walks away. Later, Jonathan walks into a house.
Dad? Dad?
Jonathan.
What happened? Did we go bankrupt?
Nah, we didn't need all the room in that other house. Oh, it's so good to see you.
Bob hugs his son.
Oh. Shit, we'll suffocate in here.
Oh, you think so?
Sarah bursts in.
Are you out of your mind?
Would you please shut her mouth before I do it? I mean, the pilot was so fed up, I thought he was gonna crash the plane.
What about Mom? Huh? What'd you think about her? She must be going out of her mind.
Your mom's fine.
You're such a dick.
Honey, you know the way you talk to me.
Yeah, that's a good one. He kidnaps me and he worries about my vocabulary.
Come on, give me a kiss.
Hey, in your dreams, Rambo.
She heads up the stairs.
I'm guessing my prison's somewhere upstairs?
Yeah.
She leaves Bob with Jonathan.
Oh, that was cruel, Dad.
Yeah.
Hey, I need a new computer.
Go check in your room.
Jonathan runs up the stairs.
Oh, yes!
Later, in a formal restaurant, Bill Gannett, a former organized crime police officer, approaches Jennifer at a table.
You're late.
I'm retired now. I can be late.
Yeah, well, I'm not, so next time be on time.
Yes, sir, sir. Anything wrong?
Me? Nothing. Everything's fine. Everything's perfect.
Oh, right.
Aside from Gabriel not putting his surveillance team on the Brains' wedding. Money, you know.
Join the club. Now, can you tell me how a guy like Helen Stans was allowed in this country?
Don't start, okay?
That's intelligence gathering. You should know these things.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We're lost, Bill. We don't know who did it. So maybe if you could, you know, do your thing and ask around, see what the patches have to say.
Retired.
Bill, stop it. I know you've been burning up the phone lines the past couple of days. You've talked to Ventura. With New York. You even called a source with the Matadors to see if they had anything to do with it. So cut the crap. I need your help.
A woman interrupts.
Mr. Gannett?
Depends who's asking.
I'm sorry to disturb you, but Miss Vincent, the Solicitor General, would like to have a word with you if it's possible.
Miss Vincent? Come in.
Bill stands.
Therapy.
He follows the woman into another dining room.
Mr. Gannett. Ms. Vincent. Good to meet you. Have a seat.
Thank you.
Have some wine.
Café de Popolo, Little Italy, Toronto. Two bikers walk in on a foosball game.
What do you want?
Two regular coffees.
We don't want people like you here.
Excuse me?
I said we don't want people like you here.
And what's wrong with people like us?
The patches, that's what's wrong.
Hey, listen, we're not going to wreck the place. We just want to have a coffee.
One coffee and you're out. Capiche?
Well, maybe two if I feel like it. Capiche?
Tony, what are you doing?
The biker walks away from the bartender. He pulls a chair away from an older man at the foosball table. The older man steps up to the bartender. Do something, Lino, he says. There are too many of these people around now. Vito, don't worry, Lino replies. I hope, Vito begins, but Lino cuts him off. I'll see you. Bye. Vito leaves. Behind the bar, Lino makes a phone call. Hey, how you doing? He says. At the restaurant, Jennifer finishes her wine and gets up to leave. She walks away.
You see the problem with politicians? They've got their own agenda. Their little secrets.
Carol smiles at Bill.
Are you telling me politicians in this country are being bought?
Bought, framed, blackmailed, name it.
Give me some names. Come on, just one. Good headline, but no smoking gun.
You wouldn't know what to do with it.
Listen, I'm thinking of amending the anti-gang law. Put the burden of proof on the criminals to show how they can pay for their standard of living.
But why limit it to criminals only?
Well, it's a start. And how about working for me?
Working for you? Doing what? Carrying your bags?
Okay. How can I use your expertise to help me in my job?
Give me a car, phone, computer, decent expense account. I'll keep you posted on everything you need to know about organized crime. And advise you properly. That's the best I can do.
That seems reasonable. Deal?
Deal.
They both drink their wine. Jonathan works on an internet casino website.
Dad, come here. Come look at this.
Bob joins Jonathan behind a computer with two monitors.
Oh, no, come on.
Internet gambling's for losers.
No. I'm not gambling. I designed the site. All right? Now, look. I got poker, slots, blackjack. I would have put in Baccarat, but I don't know how to play. Anyway, look. Here's how it works. We set up in Antigua, right? We use a money man there, a broker. Put this page on the web, and people bet using their credit cards. Now, a friend of mine, his father in Miami, did $10 million last year.
$10 million. That's some serious coin.
Place your bet.
All right, we'll look into it. Hey.
Red 25.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, sure. What?
Did you know your mother was pregnant?
It's pretty obvious, Dad. I mean, she didn't get that belly from eating donuts.
No, that's not what I meant. Why didn't you tell me?
It's none of my business. You know, she's carrying the baby, not me. Not you.
Is it mine?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Oh, don't start, all right? It's between you two. You go fix it with her.
Bob nods. He ruffles his son's hair.
Now you're really something.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Well, don't get too big, I'll have to kick your ass.
Maybe when I get big, I'll kick yours.
Bob stands in the doorway, staring at Jonathan.
Black 33. Sorry.
Bob leaves.
Spin again.
In downtown Toronto.
Thanks for telling him where I was.
Karen meets with Norm.
You know why he did this. He wants you back.
Oh, he doesn't want me back, Norm. He just hates losing control.
Hey, I'm on your side.
Yeah.
She signs a stack of papers.
I don't know when you decided to leave with the kids. It doesn't help your case doing this behind Bob's back. I mean, you never know. Bob might have gone along with it.
You know what I think, Norm? I think you're afraid of him.
I'm not afraid of him. He needs me. I don't need him. Does he know you're pregnant?
I'm sure he knows.
Be careful when you go to see him.
Well, I'm long past being afraid of Bob Durrell. He should be afraid of me. Can you call your driver back?
At Bob's house.
No, he's a money broker. In Antigua. Here, hold on a second. Thought you were going out. Oh, it's kids. Internet casinos.
Karen walks into the messy kitchen.
Look, check it out. I'll call you back.
You son of a bitch.
It's about how you're doing, Bob. Would have been fine.
Kidnapping your own kids, huh, Bob? I mean, that's Durrell at his best.
Me. You took our kids out of the country, and...
He points at her belly.
And this, nobody tells me anything about that.
That's the way it is.
It's the way it is. How about 17 years of commitment?
She grins at him.
Oh, it won't be hard to convince a judge that my kid's safety is at stake here.
What do you mean by that?
Who was the lucky winner this time? Oh, Bob. Oh, yeah. Alan Stance, wasn't it? You aim high.
I had nothing to do with that.
And Ross? Wendy wasn't enough. You had to go for Ross, too.
Ross is alive and well and as strong as a horse. He's walking around breathing in and out just like you and me.
I know you, Bob. And I know things even you don't know.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
All those papers you had me sign. The shell companies in Aruba. The corporation in the Bahamas. Remember?
He nods solemnly.
Where are the kids living?
They're living here with me.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. You move out of the house and I stay here with the kids.
Bob answers the phone.
Hello.
It's Ross.
Hey, Bob.
Bob glances at Karen.
It's your old friend, the widower. Remember?
Ross, how you doing?
Karen is shocked.
You back? No, I was expecting a call. I'm sorry about Danny.
Yeah. Nothing will stop you, eh, Bob?
Bob grins.
You know, you and I should do lunch sometime.
Yeah, I guess you have a lot of free time on your hands. I heard Karen and the kids left you.
Hold on a second, will you?
Bob covers the phone and turns to Karen.
You want to live here in this house with the kids? Okay. If you want me to leave, I'll go right now. Just say hi.
He holds out the phone. She takes it.
Ross?
Ross is confused.
Karen?
Oh, the things you say about me.
Bob leaves.
Ross, where are you?
I want the truth.
In Norm's office.
Bob, she's the one who signed the paper. She's not stupid. And I told you she could become a problem.
She knows more about my goddamn stuff than I do.
You want to transfer ownership? She's going to have to sign off.
When the time comes.
Yeah, I've always been impressed with how you can come up with a signature when you need one.
Huh. Well, not this time. There'll be no fooling her now.
You know, if you get hit by a car, Karen's going to wind up with a bundle of money.
And she deserves it. She just doesn't deserve to control it while I'm alive.
Later, Pietro Giacalone golfs with his mafia colleagues.
Pietro. We can't go on like this. These guys are shaking our ground.
Tell me how they're interfering with your business. Huh? Tell me.
That's not the point. They attract way too much attention.
The heat's on them. Police aren't even working on made men anymore. Bikers are the flavor of the day.
Pietro chips onto the green.
Huh. Not bad.
Sal.
His bodyguard, Sal, exchanges his club.
What the hell is this? It's my favorite putter, right?
As long as you get your shot, huh?
If these clowns keep pushing, we don't know what's gonna happen. You hear?
Café del Popolo the other night, you know what happened? Two guys with the patch, they walk in, they scare the old men. The owner of the place, who happens to be my cousin, he called Frank Lampino in New York directly.
Christ, he should have called me.
Wait. His turn.
The man sinks his putt.
Bravo. Lampino asked, why isn't somebody up there doing something? Okay.
Nice shot.
I'm getting good. No, my cousin said, nobody cares. And if nobody wants to deal with it here, then you should call New York.
What do you want me to do about it?
Another man, Don Rizzi, motions for them to be quiet. Don Rizzi sinks his putt.
Just fix the damn problem. No more killing, no more fighting. They stay out of our bars, they stay out of our clubs. It's very simple.
And if you don't, he will.
The man nods at Don Rizzi. At the junkyard, Ross fixes a bike as Butler gulps a beer. A small helicopter swoops in. Butler runs into the trailer. He emerges with a machine gun.
Stay right there.
Ross casually continues fixing the bike. Butler hurries to meet the helicopter as it prepares to land. As it touches down, Butler stands aiming the machine gun. A man climbs out of the helicopter.
Hey! Turn around! Get back in your little egg, Peter, and get the hell out of here! Now!
Get that thing out of my face!
I said get out of here! Fast!
Okay!
Good!
Wait!
Ross steps in.
Do I speak Bosniak?
The man, Ice Pick, nods.
Drop the date. Sorry. Come on.
Who the hell is that?
Carlos Vasquez sent him.
Christ, man, I almost shot him.
The helicopter lifts off as Ice Pick joins Ross and Butler.
Welcome to our kingdom.
I didn't expect to see anyone else.
David's a good friend. It's all right.
I don't give a rat's ass about the Matadores or your fight with the Sixers.
But Carlos asked me to come check you out, so here I am.
Well, you see, I don't need you. I need what you can provide.
We got a big market in Canada. Here is the deal. We split 50-50 on the street.
Wow. I'm pretty hungry.
Ross lights ice pick cigarette.
We don't mind dropping old business partners as long as we have new ones to replace them. How hard are you ready to play?
Just watch me.
At the Jurel home, Sarah massages her mom's feet.
That's good. Can I ask you something? Go ahead. What's next? I mean, are you gonna ask for a divorce?
I don't know.
But you can't live like this for the rest of your life.
What are you saying, honey? It's not like we lived in a jail. I mean, I can go wherever I want, you know.
Don't bullshit me, Mom. Okay? I know how you really feel.
It's funny how you and your father both think you know how I feel. But you don't, believe me.
Okay? Tell me.
Sarah, honey, it's useless confronting your father. He has to find the answers for himself.
In other words, he has to say you can go in order for you to be free.
Right? Something like that, yeah.
The other foot.
Karen shifts on the couch.
Find Italian ones. They got too much rib, you know?
In a restaurant.
That's what makes them so good.
Bob drinks wine with Pietro.
I prefer a Bordeaux. More subtle, you know what I mean?
Very funny. A biker who likes things subtle.
It's a good introduction to our discussion, huh?
There are a couple of things I have to explain to you. No discussion necessary.
Ooh, Pietro's upset.
Annoyed, but never upset.
So no problem, then?
Yeah, no real problem. It's just that your piece of the pie is getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, well, you get your cut, don't you?
Your little bikers are out of control.
I don't see it that way.
You're trespassing on my turf. No more expansion. No more killing. I want peace. Respect our deal.
Sounds like a threat.
You can control access to any port you want. But what's the use if there are no containers?
What's our mutual friend in Brazil have to say about this? Huh?
Some friends are worth more than others.
Yeah, I'm the one who did him a huge favor.
Some favors are worth more than others.
You son of a bitch.
Say that again.
Well, you heard if you're in this that you're a son of a bitch.
Pietro intentionally knocks over his wine. Bob stands. He walks away from the table, past Sal and another guard. In the junkyard trailer,
we're gonna go.
Ross throws darts at a map.
There. And there.
Okay, are you actually aiming those things, or are you just hitting them by chance?
Well, that's for the Sixers a week.
And you know they have friends and relations working for them in those places.
Well, friends and relations are gonna shit when they see a bunch of matadors coming at them. That's our target. Cornwall, Sault Ste. Marie, Windsor, Ottawa, and Kitchener.
Are you forgetting something?
I'm not forgetting anything. Toronto's the bullseye. But first, I want to pick around the edges. Your house is too strong to take on head-to-head right now.
You are strong when you have stuff to sell.
Drell's got plenty, you know?
In a couple of weeks, he'll beg you for shit.
Ross leans toward Ice Pick, who eats an apple with a knife.
He's been cut off.
Ice Pick offers Ross the knife.
He has one container in the port. Then...
plans can change.
Ross throws the knife into Toronto on the wall map. Late at night in the city, a biker spins his back wheel, burning rubber into smoke. Ross stands nearby with a beer. A gang of newly patched matadores cheers on the biker burning rubber at the gang's inauguration warehouse party. With the rear tire burned bald, the biker cuts the engine. Butler cheers wildly.
To the Matadora!
Ross stands on a platform to address his new gang. He guzzles a beer. He tosses the empty into the crowd. Soon after...
Can't wait to see their faces, man.
Play it cool. Any problems, I'll handle it.
Did you call the papers?
This afternoon around 2. I didn't want them to tip off the pigs.
We planned this whole goddamn thing for months and months. And now here we are.
There's one thing I learned from the Sixers. Why limit ourselves? 5 provinces is a good start, no?
It's just the beginning, man. It's just the beginning.
Butler climbs onto his bike, joining a long line of matadores. Ross sits on his bike at the front of the line.
Gentlemen! Start your engines!
Ross gives a thumbs up, and his gang follows suit. The procession pulls out of the warehouse. They cruise along a country road. To a small town, Ontario Cottage Country. A group of girls jump rope in the street. They're pulled onto the sidewalk as the matadores roll past. Ross stops his bike at a lakeside bar. The other matadores park their bikes nearby. Ross leads his men toward the bar. The bikers converge on the bar's outdoor patio. Elsewhere,
it's going to be a bit of a problem.
How big of a problem?
Well, after the next container, we're not going to have any product for a while.
Brain shakes his head at Bob.
I could talk to the Jamaicans. They could fill a gap, but not for long.
That'd be good. Look, I'm working on it, but it's going to take some time.
Bob presses a button, opening a hidden door that lets them out of a secret control room in the back of their clubhouse bar. Bob approaches the bartender.
Just a couple of beers.
Brain answers his cell phone.
Yeah. What? How many? No. Don't move. Don't do anything. I'll get back to you.
What's going on?
There are 50 or so matadores up in Simcoe.
What?
Front flashers, Ontario, BC, Alberta.
It's Ross.
In Simcoe, the matadores party on the patio.
Come on!
Several large men guard the bikes. A man in a suit joins Ross and Butler.
So what about the rumors that you were dead?
Yeah, well, I was with Elvis.
The man, George, pulls out a notebook.
Listen, Ross, with all this, aren't you afraid of the Sixers' reaction?
Why should I be? I live in a free country. People can do what they want.
So, tell me, what are we talking about now? 5 chapters?
We don't have chapters. I'm not writing a novel.
George chuckles as he takes notes.
We're opening in 5 provinces for now.
What about Quebec? How many members do you have there?
Yeah. It's always complicated in Quebec. The demand is there. A lot of people want to join. We'll see.
Come on, Ross. You know what's going to happen.
No, tell me.
Sixers are not going to like this.
What is it with you and the Sixers? Screw the Sixers.
All right. So how many members are we talking about?
More than 100.
Who's in charge, you or Ross?
Nobody's in charge. We're just a bunch of guys who want to have fun riding our bikes with friends and families. We don't need a boss for that. You guys are so weird. Always the same bullshit. You see a patch, you think crime. What's criminal about riding a bike on a country road, huh?
Ross.
Butler points to the street. Ross and George turn to see Brain and Bob approaching in a black sedan. Ross hops over the patio railing. Smiling, Bob gets out of the car, backed by Butcher and Tiger. Butcher videotapes the scene. Ross and Bob slowly advance on each other. Ross circles Bob. The two men stand off. Ross stares into Bob's eyes. Brain watches closely. Bob lowers his gaze. Shaking his head, he backs away. With his back to Ross, Bob grimaces. Bob and his men climb back into the sedan. They drive away. Ross grins. Triple Sixers headquarters, Montreal. The chapter presidents gather.
Okay, guys, listen.
Gilles starts the meeting.
We voted no. But here we are.
Five Matadorist chapters.
Provinces, Joe. They don't have chapters, they have provinces.
Whatever. We need answers, and now. Debian's supposed to be dead, Bob. What's the deal?
Debian?
I didn't want him dead.
Okay. What about
Danny Lett? Bullshit. Look, I've got a Matadorist problem on my turf. I'm gonna take care of it. You got a Matadorist problem on your turf? Fix it. Stop bitching about it, for Christ's sake.
Fix yourself first.
What are you talking about, huh?
Bob and Gilles lunge at each other, but they're held back.
Okay. Gilles, where do you live? Gilles!
Quoi?
Where do you live, repeats Roots. In what province?
Quebec,
damn it. What's it got to do with you, Roots asks. There are no Matadores there, so shut up. Gilles sits down.
Suck.
God damn it, Roots says.
Guys! I don't like this Matadorist crap. All right, fine. Don't feel comfortable, I understand.
Bob and I sit down and talk about it. Find a solution.
Bob raises his eyebrows.
And we'll come back to you. It's okay?
Gilles, stop confusing everybody.
As far as the Matadors are concerned, we were all caught by surprise. But if you think Bob had anything to do with it,
I'd like to hear so now.
Maybe you should ask him.
Bob.
Yeah?
Did you have anything to do with the Matadors coming to Canada?
Me? No.
Satisfied.
No. What the hell's the matter with you guys? Spend your time blaming each other.
For Christ's sake.
Now, what I suggest, you all go back to your chapters. Do your normal stuff. Bob and I will take care of this. For those who can't handle the pressure, I suggest you find another job at kindergarten.
Bob nods to Roots. At police headquarters, Bill testifies at an inquiry.
But you assumed that they would break the law.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean we'll stop them.
But you do agree that you need solid grounds.
Absolutely.
This morning, Mr. Stewart told us that on his roadblock, certain bikers, including the plaintiff, were detained so that the police could, update their photo album. Now, do you consider that a little abusive?
You mean, just for taking pictures?
Yes. Is it abusive?
I would have to say yes.
Thank you, Mr. Gannett. No more questions.
Bill steps out of the inquiry room.
Wait one goddamn minute.
Steve follows him.
I'm sorry, kid. You know she was right.
I can't believe you did that.
I just answered some simple questions.
No. You just stabbed me in the back.
Come on, updating your photo album as a reason for roadblock. How could you be so stupid?
Well, you could have skated around and avoided the track. Come on!
I told the truth.
Steve grabs Bill, but the lawyer interrupts.
Gentlemen.
She walks away.
It must be tough for your ego to see someone else stepping into your shoes.
This is just a rehearsal. Wait till you testify at a real trial with the real lawyers. They're gonna eat you alive.
Bill leaves. That night, Butler's bar burns in a raging fire.
Hey, where you going? Come here.
A firefighter grabs Butler.
Off limits.
Listen, you make sure nobody goes in there after, okay? I gotta save
you. I don't give a shit about your safe, all right? I got two of my guys trapped in there. Now move.
Well, this is a bad start for you in a biker business, David.
Butler glares at George.
Get out of my face.
Ross arrives in an SUV.
I could see it coming. Didn't you?
Hey!
Butler grabs him.
Be careful what you write about, asshole.
All right.
David!
Cool off.
Ross turns to George.
Hope you get your headline right.
Well, I don't know, Ross. Maybe you should write it for me.
Some people think we should go to war. It takes two sides to fight a war. And David here's not going to retaliate. Are you, David?
Not my style.
So you're just going to let this go?
So typical of the Sixers. Somebody shows up somewhere, they burn down the city.
Trap a couple of firefighters inside.
Sixers kill people. We don't. Get your story straight. Let's go.
They walk away as George scribbles notes.
Bad days are coming, Ross. Let me tell you.
Don't worry, your turn will come soon enough.
Fire blows out a window. The next day, Pietro reads about the fire while riding in a car.
That's enough.
He turns to Sal.
Time to act.
You have to, Pietro. People are talking, you know.
First Durrell, then the brain. Then I bring all these people to the table, and I'll settle this once and for all.
Be careful with Durrell.
Durrell, he's a punk. I'll show him who's the boss.
All right. I need some smokes.
You should quit smoking. It's bad for your health.
Yeah, I heard that song before. Coffee?
Yeah.
Sal climbs out of the driver's seat. As Pietro resumes reading his newspaper, someone climbs into the car with a concealed shotgun.
Hey, Pietro.
The man shoots Pietro, then hurries away. Watching from inside the coffee shop, Sal calmly dials a phone.
Man's been shot.
Later, Don Rizzi waits at an outdoor restaurant. Smiling, Sal approaches him. They kiss each other on both cheeks. They sit down at a table. Rizzi pours Sal a glass of wine. Then he pours wine for another guest. Ice pick.
Ten time.
The three men toast one another. Later, Roots swims across a backyard pool. He climbs out onto the deck. He puts on a robe. As Root sits down and lights a cigarette, someone sneaks up behind him. The intruder holds a gun to the back of Root's head.
Can I at least know who's got the balls to do something that stupid?
When the intruder shows himself, Root smiles.
Hey, What a surprise.
It's Ross.
Sorry to intrude, but I wasn't sure you'd call back if I left a message.
Came here to shoot me or you want to talk?
Ross sits down and places the gun on a table.
If you stay calm, stay calm.
I don't plan to grow a hole in my head tonight. Gotta move along tomorrow.
I think you'll need my help.
I can mow it myself.
Drug market's gonna get a little tight. One of your brothers insulted the wrong guy.
It's his problem.
And yours.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You see, the dope you sell comes from Bob. So if you need anything, just call me.
Ain't that a bitch? Don't have your number.
I'll get in touch with you.
Hate to shatter your ego, but I think I'll manage.
We'll see.
Ross grabs the gun and walks away. In the Jurels' house, Karen walks through the kitchen reading the mail. She notices Bob pacing in the backyard.
Bob?
He walks toward her.
Can I come in?
I was about to go to bed, but yeah, sure.
He steps inside.
Just tell me.
That's a stupid question. Of course it's your baby.
Bob takes a deep breath.
You're right. I didn't need all the things I thought I needed.
Well, you chose money over family, Bob.
I did.
He moves an ottoman so he can sit in front of her.
I was wrong. I've got this beautiful wife, two incredible children. Now you've got another one on the way. I just want to get back to where it was before I screwed up.
There's too many things I can't forget, Bob.
I understand it. We could just come home.
He rubs her foot.
We could start from there.
It's not gonna happen.
She pulls her foot away.
I think you should go. Now.
I love you, Karen. I love you with all my heart. I do.
Bob leaves. Karen sits in the living room, crying. Later, a sonogram displays an image of Karen's child. Karen looks to the doctor.
So? Everything looks fine. Is it a boy or a girl? Hard to say.
Well, can you try a little harder?
Nah, I think it's a girl. You don't want a boy?
No, I just don't want any more problems in my life.
Later,
he came to see me. A little bit strange, don't you think?
Roots and Bob meet in a strip club.
Is he buying or selling?
He's just sniffing around. The province is Matador's free zone.
For now.
You know what bothers me? You guys in T.O. don't have the experience to deal with Matadors.
We know what we're doing.
Do you know what we need? 11 guys. We formed the Canadian National Chapter. The dream team. Coast to coast. Not only are we fixing Matador's problem, but we hit all territories for distribution. Hey.
It's interesting. What bothers me is I can remember a time when just the sight of me made you sick. So what happened?
We had a problem to fix. We fixed it.
Think about it.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, Ross leads Icepick and Butler into a small office.
What are we doing here?
Sit down.
Ross opens a window. Outside, a shipping container hangs from a crane. Ross dials a cell phone. He turns to Butler.
Just for you, man.
Ross dials a number, and the container explodes. A cloud of cocaine bursts from the wreckage. Ross smiles. Butler is stunned.
Impressive. Let's go. I said let's go.
We should have stolen it, not blown it.
Next time.
They leave. Later.
That's when I find out the goddamn thing blew up. When?
Well, hello, handsome.
Hey, Linda.
All right.
All right.
Linda kisses Brain.
Could you do me a favor, please? If you should run into Karen, do not mention Mexico.
I built my career on discretion.
Honey, I got a call from a friend. Said your dearest Priscilla lifted some money off of him.
I heard. Don't worry, honey. It won't happen again. I sent her to Manitoba.
Well, you run things your way, but I want...
No.
I gotta talk to Bob now. Why don't you go and call your mom?
Bye.
She leaves.
A ton is gone. What's this national chapter idea? I don't know. Sounds like a good idea.
Are you in?
No, I said I think it might be a good idea. You teaming up with Roots. Ooh, that's some higher plane you're working on there, Bob.
Bob smiles, then notices Icepick walking in the door.
We help you.
You, Durell?
Oh, Yuri, Icepick.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Lenny Lipinski.
That's it. Come on, let me buy you a drink. Have a seat.
No. I don't plan to stay long.
Like I was telling you over the phone, I talked to Vasquez.
You already told me, so why repeat the same shit?
We need 1,000, fast.
45 a key.
What?
Want me to write it down for you?
Icepick pulls out a thin cigar. He lights up.
Hey, got a deal.
Icepick leaves.
45.
Son of a bitch enjoyed that.
You don't have time for this bullshit, Bob. You gotta get to Vasquez and quick.
Yeah, but...
The next day, Bill walks away from Parliament Hill. Ottawa. He finds Gabriel leaning against a car.
Hey, Bill.
Gabriel blocks the car door when Bill tries to unlock it.
I don't know how you did it, but you're good.
What are you talking about?
You came in as a liaison officer, sneaked around, bailed out, and now you're chief of the organized crime squad. Scam of the century.
Well, now you work for the Solicitor General, which kind of makes you my boss.
Not really, because I'd kick your ass out of there.
There's one thing you should explain. You know, Bill, we can say whatever we want about you, but one thing is certain, you're as straight as can be. I mean, you're a model of integrity. So how you wound up working for Carol Vincent, I don't know, it's beyond my comprehension.
That you're jealous?
I don't trust her for a minute.
Why don't you tell her yourself?
Come on, Bill. She's a college buddy of Atworth. You know, Atworth and Donnie, the law firm, the one that represents Bob Durrell.
So?
Well, I don't know. Don't you think it's kind of incestuous?
Incestuous?
Yeah. I mean, she's the highest law official in the country. Durrell is probably enemy number one on her list, and somehow Atworth is right in the middle of it.
Atworth is a lawyer. She's a lawyer. So what's the problem?
I can't believe this. You won't keep me from doing my job.
I'll mention your concern to her. Next time you're free, why don't you go and sit in the container? Maybe the coke will kickstart your brain.
Gabriel steps away, then turns back, grinning.
Asshole.
Meanwhile, a red SUV pulls into a private parking lot. Icepick stands waiting. Ross rolls down the SUV's window.
So?
Went well. You've got the triple sixers by the balls.
Grinning, Ross drives away. This described version of The Last Chapter 2, The War Continues, Volume 1, was created by Audiovision Canada. The narrative description was written by J.J. Hunt, narrated by Steve Coombs, and produced by Valerie Hunter and Marco Sorin. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audiovision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Cast: Bob Durrell, Michael Ironside. Ross Debien, Roy Dupuis. The Brain, George Buzza. Roots, Dan Bigland. Bill Gannett, Michel Forger. Karen Durrell, Marina Orsini. Butler, Andreas Apurgis. Icepick, Gregory Claudie. Steve Stewart, Louis-Philippe Dandenot. Produced with the participation of the Canadian Television Fund, the Quebec Film and Television Tax Credit, and the Canadian Film or Video Production Tax Credit. Produced in association with the CBC and Radio-Canada. Shot on location in Montreal, Quebec, Ottawa, Toronto, Ontario. Copyright 2003. Teleaction.